How about you turn to three people in your vicinity and say, it's great that you're here, it's great that you're here, and it's great that you are here, it's great that you are here. That third person gets the amplified version. It's always important. Well done, team. Feel free to grab a seat. When Rachel was saying, and that's about it, I was going to get up here if they weren't going to do an excessive welcome and say, so that's it. Have a great Sunday. Catch you next week. Connect groups, yeah. But no, we're not going to do that. Instead, we'll get into the Word of God, which is always a good thing. Who's enjoyed, over the past few weeks, have been looking at your next step? Who's enjoyed the different messages you've heard from Pastor David and Alex and the team? Yeah, it's been some great stuff in there. Who's written on one of these cards? Who hasn't? No, actually, I won't do that. Let me encourage you. We're going to pray over this handful of cards that I have. These are a bunch of steps that people have said that they want to take in taking one step closer to you. Taking one step closer to the purposes of God and the things of God that God has in store for different people. So how about we just reach out our hands and we'll pray for these things. God, we just thank you so much that you're taking people on a journey. They're not stagnant or stationary, but you're moving people to greater levels of obedience, greater levels of fulfilling the life that you've called them to live, greater levels of intimacy with you, greater levels of faithfulness in the things that you've called people to. God, and we ask in Jesus' mighty name, that as obstacles arise, as things come against God, that they wouldn't shrink back. They wouldn't be those that shrink back, but they would be those that would step up, knowing that God is with them, God is for them, that if God is in them, then what could stand against them? So Lord, we ask in Jesus' mighty name that you'd help us as Energizer Church, as a community of Christian believers, to take that one more step, to become more Christ-like in every area of our life. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. I'm going to throw that to you. Whoa, good catch. You've been watching the cricket. Has anyone been watching Australia versus South Africa? I was up till about 12 o'clock last night watching a little bit of that. Lisa, we're not going to talk after service at the moment. Maybe after day three, then we might pick up conversation again. We'll see what happens. But the last few weeks, I've been... I was preaching at the night service 2 weeks ago, and then preaching up at the Derwent Valley last week. And I shared a story that I'd never shared anywhere, ever, in church. And Jemima, bless her heart, she's been travelling with me on this journey. She was worship leading on the night that I first shared this story. And she was worship leading up at the Derwent Valley when I second shared this story. And today I thought, you know what, I might just share it again. Because the reality is that in this congregation here... I reckon probably 70% or maybe 60% of people haven't heard this story. And I think it's such a good story that it would be a shame to share it to the night service congregation and to the Valley congregation and then you guys not to get to hear one of the greatest stories ever shared. But just hold up. It's not the same message though. So I'm just telling you this from the outset. If you want to get the other message is all about, are you in Christ or are you in costume? And how God, there's a story in the Bible. Has anyone ever heard of a guy named Jacob? His name actually meant trickster. But he had to put something on. He had to put costume on to receive blessing from the Father. But it's incredible that when we come to Christ, all we have to be is in Christ and we have access to every spiritual blessing. And I want to encourage you, if you want to hear that message, in a way it's a precursor to this one, then you're going to have to just jump online to www.energizerchurch.com and go to the podcast section where you can listen to that message. It's a cracker, and I know that it will be a blessing to you. So this message, though, today is based off the same story but going in a completely different direction. So firstly, some people here are probably thinking, what story is Dan talking about? Well, how about we get into it? It's story time here at Energizer Church, Sunday morning. And this story is a story that goes back about 10 years. And it's the story of an auntie named Aunt Slib Slob Anoski. Try to say that 5 times really quickly. Come on, give it a go. Slib Slob Anoski, Slib Slob Anoski. It's a challenging one to say. It's a mouthful, well and truly. But 10 years ago, Jemima Priest, there was a lady, who remembers Mel Docker? Yeah. Mel Docker, who was, yeah, I know, it was not that long ago, but for some people in this room, they haven't been around as long as Hugh Jen, so they might not know. But Mel Docker was youth pastor here at the time. And there was this other girl named Kayla Bentley. And Kayla Bentley, her background or heritage was actually Ukrainian. It's incredible. It's like, that's where her family came from. So hence, her background's Ukrainian. Who would have thought? So Kayla, Jemima, and Mel were all living in the same house together. A happy little house like the Brady Bunch down in Warrane. Now, what was happening down there was, around this time, youth leaders and young adults leaders thought it would be quite amusing to play practical jokes on one another. Generally, in most cycles of churches, there comes a time in any youth ministry or young adult ministry where there's this random mentality where that is a good thing to do. So that would be doing practical jokes on one another, locking people out of the house, or glad wrapping someone's car up so they get up in the morning, ready to go to work, and then you get outside and your car is completely wrapped in glad wrap. Has anyone ever had that happen to you? Did Mel do that to you? That's why she's now in Queensland and not here. No, not really. She was called up there and is doing incredible work at Calvary Christian Church. But so they were doing all these practical jokes. And ask any, when stuff like this is happening, generally people want to one-up the next person. So Jemima and Kayla thought it would be a great idea to pull a practical joke on Jemima, where they pretended that Kayla actually had an auntie named Aunt Slib Slob Anosky. Aunt Slib Slobanowski. So what they did was, over the duration of about 4 months, they would write notes, put it on the fridge, saying, your Aunt Slib Slobanowski called, she just wanted to touch base to see how your work is going. Your Aunt Slib Slobanowski called, she just wanted to check in to see if the cat's better. And then what they would do is they would actually get Kayla's mum, a lady that goes to our Derwent Valley campus, Lydia, to call up on the phone and speak in Ukrainian only when Jemima was home. So that Jemima would be the one that would pick up the phone and they'd be like, Shukadala, Tatana Basir, Mama, gonna be a chef out of Malabara Sukoda. So Jemima, over the duration of 4 months, believed that Auntie Slib Slob Anosky was a real person. At first she was like, oh, whatever, this person isn't real. But because they built it up over the period of 4 months, has anyone seen that movie Inception? It was like an idea planted in a dream, so then all of a sudden she thought it was a reality. That's sort of what had happened. Kayla and Mel, actually, they are the authors of that movie Inception, and they should be receiving $1 million for doing that. But they created this false reality for Jemima, that there was this lady who didn't exist, but she thought really did exist, named Aunt Slib Slobanowski. Now, Aunt Slib Slobanowski was in Ukraine, but she happened to be going on a holiday to the Gold Coast. And then when she was on holiday on the Gold Coast, she thought, you know what, I would love to come down to Hobart and have a meal with my granddaughter and spend some time with Kayla and Mel and Jemima. So they then lined up that Aunt Slib Slobanowski was actually going to come round for dinner. Now, the problem is Aunt Slib Slobanowski isn't real. How do you bring someone to dinner when they don't exist? That's when an incredible actor, like myself, comes into the story. So I was barely saved at this time. I'd only been saved for about a year, so I didn't understand that Levitical laws that men shouldn't dress in women's clothing. But they invited me to come round to dinner and pretend to be Aunt Slib Slobanowski. I put on I think it was a triple E bra, I don't even know if that is a size. I wore gumboots. I had, actually, where's this cloak, Doris? If you can pass this to me. I had a shawl, actually. Simon, come here for a second. Can you hold this for me? So, I pretty much, there we go, that's what I'm saying. So I pretty much had like this thing around my waist, so you couldn't really see my waist, because you'd tell that I don't have childbearing hips if you... And then I had this other one over my head. There we go. And pretty much all, pretty much all you could see was my eyes. You couldn't see anything else. And what happened was they invited me around for dinner, so I was sitting down in their lounge room, just sitting on a chair, just doing what Aunt Slib Slobinowski does. And Mel and Kayla, they thought that in their wildest dreams, Jemima might believe that I am really a woman for about maybe 2 minutes. Maybe Dan could pull off 2 minutes of making Aunt Slib Slobinowski a real person. But what they didn't realize is that I missed my calling. I'm not actually meant to be a pastor of a church. I am actually meant to be like Leonardo DiCaprio. Or who was that guy that dressed up in that movie once? Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, they didn't realize that I'm actually a reincarnate of Robin Williams. That I've missed my calling. They thought 2 minutes. Oh, gosh. So, Jemima comes home. Kayla and Mel are cooking dinner. And they ask Jemima to go into the lounge room and make Aunt Slib Slobinowski feel welcomed. And, Jemima's there and she's like, oh, g'day, my name's Jemima. As we all know Jemima, she's so loving and compassionate and tender-hearted and caring. Being all kind and caring. And I'm just like, oh, shakuma, mama, see, mama, rabahara. And then she's like, what'd she say? And Kayla would pipe up from the kitchen, oh, have you had a good day? Jemima would be like, oh yeah, it's been a really good day. I was working all day, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then she was like, oh, how about I show you some of my baby photos? So Jemima brings out this book of photos from her childhood, showing me pictures of her at the beach. And I'm like, oh, skatara marahiro katama shetera. What'd she say? She asked, where is that photo taken? They thought 2 minutes. And they turn back and Kayla's like laughing from the kitchen. She asked, where was that photo taken? Oh, it was taken in Swansea. We're on like holiday when I was like 4 years old. And then she's showing me other photos where she's just in gumboots in the garden. And I'm just like, oh, it's good. What did she say, Kayla? Oh, she was asking, how old were you in that photo? Oh, I was 3 years old and my mum was helping me. You know? And so they thought 2 minutes. Now, about half an hour later, Jemima has now had to go into the kitchen a few times to reprimand Mel and Kayla for being so inconsiderate and laughing at their guest. Kayla, how dare you be laughing behind her back? Just because she sounds different doesn't mean that you should act like that. That's not responsible. We're meant to be Christ-like to people, especially from different nations. That's how Jemima was talking to Kayla and Mel. And Kayla and Mel was like, yeah, I'm sorry, it's just her accent. It's just throwing us out. An hour later, Mrs. Doubtfire going for the Golden Globe here. I'm still chilling in chair. The problem is now the dinner is cooked, though. And I realised that this cover-up was cooked as well. Because if I was going to partake in the meal, I couldn't do it eating through this thing where all you could see was my eyes. So I managed to get Kayla aside and I was like, Kayla, let me say grace. She was like, okay. So we're all sitting around the table. Actually, I'm going to need your help with this one. I need you to grab the hand of the person next to you. Don't worry, there's sanitizer out the back if you're really afraid, but we have holy hands here. You've been washed in the blood of Christ. So we're all holding hands together around this table. In one hand, I have Jemima, whose hand is like gently like holding the hand of a grandma, trying to lovingly care and considerate and kind. In the other hand, I have this hand like literally shaking just with laughter. Cannot believe that over an hour, about an hour and 15 minutes have passed now, and somehow Dan, the barely saved Christian, has managed to pull off the greatest, greatest, greatest practical joke of all time. So anyway, so I decided to say grace, with holding hands. And so let's all close our eyes and we'll say grace together. And it was something like this. Scutara, shepapara sekera, nonna baraha kera manoshutora. In the name of Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat. And I pulled off this. And in one side, you have Mel and Kayla just like absolutely losing it, just laughing. And Jemima on the other side, her eyes open. She blinks. It's like her brain's trying to register what has just happened. And then she just starts going, no. No, 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 no. And she gets up from the table where she's sitting and just going, no, no, no. And she literally runs out the front door, up the street. And rumour has it, she was sitting on the roundabout at the end of her street in the fetal position, shaking backwards and forth, just going, no, no. I don't know if that's true or not because I was consumed by how good the chicken was in front of me. It was a really good meal. Anyway, I say all this to say this. That didn't work. There we go. I say all that to say this. Are you believing the good news or are you believing the fake news? Are you believing the good news or are you believing the fake news? Now, there's a story in the Bible in Numbers 13:26. And it's this story about Moses and Aaron that commissioned a bunch of their guys to go into the promised land to scout out what has been promised to them. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But it's up there on the screen if you want to read it. But they've been told that the land has been given to them. They just have to go in there and take it. And it's incredible. Right at the end of it, it says this in verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they are spread among the Israelites. They spread among the Israelites a bad report, fake news, bad news about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those that are living in it. All the people we saw there are of giant size. We saw Nephilim, the descendants of Anak. We seem like grasshoppers to them in their own eyes." Now, the reality is you are going to hear lies. You are going to hear fake news. In the Word of God, it says that the enemy is the father of lies. In another passage of Scripture, it talks about be aware of the schemes of the devil. You know that the enemy is going to be lying to you, saying things to you that are untrue or use partial truths. Did God really say that? To make you all of a sudden live in a reality that isn't even real. So that you don't actually step into the fullness of what God has for you. In the same way that Jemima was completely duped by Dan's quality acting. No, it wasn't just that. It was the fact that for 4 months leading up to it, they'd planted things so that Jemima just believed that that was the reality. And in the same way, I believe that a lot of us have next steps to step into the things that God has for us, to be more Christ-like in different areas of our lives. But sometimes the biggest step is actually a transformation on the inside than taking a step on the outside. It's actually realizing and recognizing where the lies of the enemy or different things that have happened in life have skewed our view and concept of who God is, so that now we're living in an alter reality to what God has actually asked us to live into. Are you listening to fake news or are you receiving the good news? You know, Pastor Dave encouraged us last week, I think it was, about a six-week challenge. You know, there's something powerful about connecting, gathering together. In Hebrews it says, do not forsake the gathering together like some have, but find ways of encouraging, spurring one another to acts of faith and good works. And that happens when we come into community, but, you know, the devil will sneak in and be like, you don't really need to connect today. You got other things that you need to do. You know, they won't miss you. know, little things like that. And then you will remember, he'll show you the door, then you'll remember, oh, wait, I remember 3 years ago when that person didn't wave to me once. Yeah, they wouldn't miss me. And all of a sudden being led into a reality that's not even real. Just like Jemima, living in a reality that's not even real, thinking that Aunt Slib Slobanowski is a real person. Aunt Slib Slobanowski isn't real. She's Rachel has now dawned upon her that that was a story. Wow. Oh, I thought she was a real person. No. In the same way, those things that the enemy is speaking over you, that isn't the reality that God's called you to live in. And if you remain in that place, you might just end up like the Israelites and be sidetracked in the wilderness rather than actually stepping into the promises and the promised land that God has for you. And that's why I think it's so important that whilst we're looking at these next steps, that we actually turn the view a little bit and go, how's the enemy going to try to stop us from taking those steps? Because the reality, like I said, the reality is we're not fighting just against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And the enemy does want to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's kingdom. That's the devil's heart, but Christ's heart is for us to have a life and a life to the full, an abundant life. In John 8:44, it says, you belong to the Father, the devil, and you want to carry out the Father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, that's the character of the enemy, the character of the devil. And he'll use those lies to try to lead you into believing a reality that isn't even real. And if he can keep you there, contain you there, then he knows that he doesn't even need to do anything else to actually stop the kingdom of God advancing through your life. But we're not called to be people that are contained. We're called to be people that overcome. We're called to be people that are filled with the power of God, the love of God, and the authority of God, so that we can sing those lyrics that we're singing on the stage before. I am blessed, I'm anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name, and actually see those things overflow in our lives. That's what you're called to be. You're not called to be contained. Even Jesus was over, came up against the devil in this sort of way in Matthew 4, 1-11. We read about the temptations of Jesus, where Jesus is tempted 3 times by the enemy after fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. And during that time, you can read it, like I said, it's in Matthew 4, 1-11. But the devil comes up and points out 3 things. And the 3 things that he tempts Jesus with, I think are all linked to these 2 things, which are identity and security in God. Identity in who he is, and security knowing that God will provide and that God has his best interests at heart. You know, that first one, you're hungry. Why don't you turn those rocks into bread? He's just like, man doesn't live on bread alone. He all of a sudden shifts it to, no, my security isn't in what I can do, but it's in what God can bring to me. The second one, oh, you know, it says this in the Word of God, that if you jumped off a cliff, then angels are going to rescue you. You know, why don't you test God in that? And he says to him, look, he rebukes him with the Word of God again. And the third time, he comes up to him and shows him all the things of the world and says, look, you can have this if you bow down and worship me. And once again, Jesus overcomes that temptation with the Word, knowing that his identity, that he's actually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that the devil can't dish him up just all this stuff and think that's going to satisfy. Like, if you receive those lies that the devil dishes up, you're leading down a dangerous path. Because like I said, he's the father of lies. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want to see you flourish. But Jesus each time recognized what the enemy was trying to come up against him with, rebuked him with the Word of God, because his identity and security was in who God says he is, not in what the world says or anyone else says. But these 2 areas of identity and security are what the devil will come up against us all the time. As believers, as followers of Christ, the devil will try to come up and drop
lies into our mind, so to speak, or things will happen, circumstances will happen, and all of a sudden we wrap our identity in a circumstance rather than what Christ has said about us. You know, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. This is 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take it captive, every thought, to make it obedient to Christ. Are you believing fake news, or are you receiving the good news? Because those lies that are creeping in, those circumstances that you've been through, are not your identity. Who Christ says you are is your identity. You know, firstly, I think a lot of the time, when the enemy comes with these lies, or when we're there reflecting and it's our flesh taking over, one of the things that we'll pick up on first is we'll question the character of God. You're unloved. And we can live in this reality that God doesn't love me. Maybe he tolerates me. He hasn't smited me yet. And the enemy will, and our thoughts will creep back to those times where, well, my father left me when I was 15. You know, he divorced my mum. So maybe my heavenly father's like that. He'll use things that you've been to, half-truths, misinformation, to try to make us live in this reality that isn't true. Because the reality is that God does love you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8. You know, God loved us so much that even whilst we were still sinners, he died for us. Or that classic scripture that just shows God's character completely, 1 John 4:8, God is love. That's his character. He is love. But how often has anyone here ever felt unloved by God? You're going through something and your circumstance all of a sudden dictates the character of God? You know, that's a great soil for unbelief and a great soil to actually sever your relationship from God and sever your place of intimacy with God. You know, God doesn't want you to remain in that place because that is not the reality. That is not true. God loves you. God loves you so much. And I want to encourage you and speak to someone here today. If that is you, if you've walked in here today and you feel like your circumstance or the things of your past have all of a sudden placed you in a position where you think in your head and in your heart that God doesn't love me, then that is not true. God does love you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've come from, what you're going through. God loves you. He loves you. Another thing the enemy, I find, attacks at times is our security of being a new creation. So firstly, unloved. Secondly, unchanged. You've encountered God, but you know the enemy or those lies or those things that we've gotten stuck in or caught in, I still do the same dumb things. Our reality in Christ is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. But it's amazing how sometimes that even though we can quote a passage of scripture like that, we still find ourselves doing dumb things when we're driving. Has anyone ever done something dumb whilst they're driving? Someone's cut you off and you've found yourself going, silly sausage, rather than, Lord, just bless that person. I pray that you would just bless them abundantly. You know, we find ourselves saying silly sausage instead of actually seeing the kingdom advance through our words. Or maybe it could be something more serious. You've come to Christ, you've encountered him, you know him intimately, but you're still battling with that same addiction 2 years later. And you're like, but I've given this to God all these different times. And the lies that creep into the back of our mind saying that you are unchanged. You're not a new creation. If you were a new creation, you wouldn't be struggling with this anymore. You should just give up. You know, they're the lies. That's what I get sometimes. Does anyone else get that in the back of their mind at times? Okay, I'm just making sure that I'm not crazy and I'm on my own. And you guys are like, nah, we operate 100% in the peace of God all the time, and we have no anxious thoughts or worries ever, and we have just nothing goes wrong ever. Good. I'm glad to hear that. See, that is something that the enemy will try to use against us. Because you are not fully Christ-like yet, he'll then all of a sudden say, you're not Christ-like at all. Tell you what, you are a new creation because God said it. That is the good news. You are going from glory to glory. It might take 10 minutes, it might take 10 years for you to break through and overcome in that area of life. But when you get to see him face to face, the good thing is, all those impurities and things that actually you struggled with, they will be destroyed in the fire. You will remain as just a new creation in Christ. Those things that you once struggled with, there will be no more weeping, no more pain. That's the hope of glory we have. We are works in progress through this lifetime. This is all character development this entire life. A third thing that the enemy, I find, attacks at times is, so firstly, we're unloved. And we'll use things that we've gone through to try to help push and peddle that lie. Secondly, the security of being in Christ, a new creation, and pointing out the flaws and faults in our lives to say, no, you're not really changed. The third thing, unforgiven. Unforgiven. The enemy attacks our standing as forgiven. And I think anyone in this room that has done something really bad can almost have the haunting of those mistakes rear their head in our current and present day struggles. That time where you did something that you wouldn't want anyone to know about. And then all of a sudden the enemy brings that up. You're not forgiven. You're not forgiven. Remember when you did that? Do you remember how much pain you caused that person? You're not forgiven. But that's fake news. That's fake news. That is not the reality. That is not the reality. In 1 John 1:7 and 9, I love this scripture. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not really in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive us of our sins. Let me encourage you. That prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew, you know that one? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. You know, what he gets to a part where he says, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those that sinned against us. Let me encourage you, let's be people that regularly go to God asking him to forgive us. Because as we do that, he is faithful to his word to forgive us of our sins. The enemy will say you are unforgiven, but in Christ you are forgiven. The enemy will say you are unforgiven, but in Christ you are forgiven. Yes, someone praise Jesus for that. I'm actually glad. I'm glad of that. Thank you, Jesus. I find the fourth one, and I'm going to invite the band to come up. The fourth one that the enemy attacks, that when I was reflecting on this, is that the enemy can attack our part to play. He calls us unqualified, unloved, unchanged, unforgiven, unqualified. It was like, you know, the fake news, you're unworthy or unqualified to have a part to play in God's story. You're unworthy or unqualified to step into that role. You're unworthy or unqualified to speak the name of Jesus in your social circle. You're unworthy and unqualified to stand up and live for Christ in your workplace. Who do you think you are? pretending to be a Christian in that place. That's the sort of fake news, the bad report, the misreport that the enemy will try to creep in and sneak in to our way of thinking. And all of a sudden, we live in this reality that maybe I can't do anything for Christ where I'm at the moment in life. That is a lie. That is a complete and utter lie. I'm so glad I've heard many preachers say this over the years, but I'm so glad that God doesn't call the qualified, but qualifieds are called. I'm so glad, because if it was up to me and my own righteousness and my own ability, and I know that God never would have called me. So I'm so glad that He called me, that even when I was still messed up, He still called me out from those things and into the things that He wanted me to step into. And I believe that's a word here for someone today. With those next steps that you've been reflecting on, you've been thinking to yourself, I know God loves me. I know I'm forgiven. I just don't feel qualified. I don't feel capable. It's because you're not. But in your weakness, His strength can be perfected. In your weakness, His strength can be perfected. Don't worry if you don't feel like you're able or capable. Join the club. But know that as you trust Him and live a life abiding in Him, live a life being led by His Spirit, He will qualify you. He will qualify those who He's called. You have been given a ministry of reconciliation. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You are called. You are qualified. You are not unworthy and unqualified. I rebuke any lie that's been spoken over you, that God would never use you, God would never use someone like you. Let me just share a testimony. There's an amazing woman that goes to our Valley campus. Her name's Angie. If you haven't met Angie, when she walks in the room one day, you'll know her. She is a larger-than-life character. She's had neck injuries, all other crazy stuff going on. It's incredible how God uses her so powerfully. Like, she called me up yesterday and we ended up chatting on the phone for about 45 minutes. She was just like, "Oh, at youth, we got to pray for this person. We saw God move it in this. And this kid who hadn't been around for ages came, and he was like so glad that he came, and he prayed at the end, and we were so encouraged that he was there praying." I was just like, how amazing. Because for some people here in this room, if you met Angie, you would think to yourself, how can God use that person? I'm serious. But she has it's because she actually has faith to believe that God's called her and chooses to walk in that. She sees God move through her life. There's a lot of people in this room and in churches around the nation that probably have everything all together a little bit more than Angie, and she wouldn't mind me saying that. But it's not about having everything together. It's just being accessible to God. If you're accessible, God can use you. If you know that you are forgiven, if you know that you are loved, if you know that you are a work in progress, this isn't the finished product. I know that I look pretty good this morning, but it's not the finished product. I look so much better when I get to heaven. It's just being accessible to God, saying, God, here I am. Send me. Send me. Send me. I want to encourage you. For some people here this morning, your next step is to speak the word of God over those lies that have been spoken to. Speak the word of God over those circumstances that are creating a false reality. And actually step in then to whatever it is that you're called to do, knowing that you are loved, knowing that you are forgiven, and knowing that God has called you. You are qualified. You are capable. you are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, I just thank you for this amazing group of believers that have gathered here today. And I ask in Jesus' mighty name that we would take captive any thought, as it says in that scripture, any thought that tries to come up against the name of Jesus, any thought that tries to come up against the works of the kingdom, any thought that tries to come up against what you have said over us, God, we take those thoughts captive and we submit them under the authority of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bind them and cast them out. We thank you that you have given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and we can bind things on earth and see them bound in heaven. We can loose things on earth and see them loosed in heaven. And we just declare right now in Jesus' name, any lie, any false reality that has taken a hold or taken control of anyone in this room, in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak freedom from it. We speak breakthrough over it. And we ask instead, Jesus, you would help them walk in the fullness of what you have for them, God. What you have for me, God. What you have for everyone in this room, God. Thank you that you're in the business of setting people free. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And in Jesus' name, we declare freedom over this house. Freedom from mistakes from years gone. Freedoms from depression or anxious anxiety that's been consuming people, God. Freedom from worries of where am I going to sleep in 4 weeks' time when my house situation goes under. God, we pray freedom over all those things because we can trust the one who gives the freedom, a Father who is love. A Father who is love. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed in this place, I want to give you an opportunity to bring your life into right standing relationship with God. In Ephesians, it talks about how we don't actually find right standing relationship with God through all our good works, because we would boast about it if that was the case. But we are made right by placing our faith in Christ Jesus, in the finished work of the cross, that his blood covers a multitude of sins. And in that moment of faith, choosing to repent. Repent means turn from our old ways and walk in a new way of living. Turning from those old habits and old patterns to then now live a life where we honor God with our lives. And declaring his name, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and Savior. Through faith in Christ and Christ alone, you can find salvation for your soul. You can find life and life in abundance here on earth. And you can find relationship with a God who isn't mad at you, but madly in love with you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. So if that is you here this morning, and you know in your heart, like seriously, you know in your heart if you know God. And if you're under the sound of my voice and you know in your heart, you know about God, but you don't know God, then why don't we change that up this morning and actually come into a place where you know God instead? And if that is you here this morning, I want you to be really brave and just give me a wave and say, Dan, everyone else has their eyes closed. But just to say, Dan, I need to make that decision. The Bible says if you honor me in front of man, I'll honor you in front of my Father in heaven. So I'm giving you the opportunity just between you and me to honor the Lord in front of man. If you need to do that here, to say, yep, I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I'd love to invite you just to lift your hand and say, Dan, that is me. And then I'll lead you in a prayer. We'll all pray together. We'll do it as family with our eyes closed. I'm so glad someone actually took the time to lead me in a prayer 10 years ago. They didn't just brush over this part of the service. Does anyone need to do that here this morning? Bring their life into the right standing relationship with God through Christ. Cool. Okay, let's all look up. Let's